Get into the weekend with the Weekender.
So what's the game plan?
The link up.
Guess who was trending and a whole lot more. The Weekender.
The Weekender. Redefining your weekend.
It's now time for the chat box, and our topic of discussion today is understanding innovation. How can youth be more innovative in the South Sudan context? Now, innovation is a very crucial element in the growth of many things, including business, lifestyle. A developing nation like South Sudan, innovation is also a key application when it's time to look for solutions to problems. Across the globe, young people are brought together to brainstorm new ideas, to solve issues, to make improvements, to introduce the next big thing. And so today we're asking, how can this be done in South Sudan? Are youth currently proactive in innovative, progress? Are they, setting up new strategies, new opportunities, creating new paths to achieving big things in South Sudan? Well, those are the questions we'll be answering. And today I have two guests, and there's gender balance. I mean, I've usually had one woman or one guy, but today there's gender balance. I made sure of that. I heard your mental complaints. So we have Yine Yenki Nika. She is the co-founder of and mentorship director at Go Girls ICT Initiative, and she also sits on the board of National Communications Authority in South Sudan. So wow, that is amazing. We also have Manyang Toot, who holds a bachelor's degree in human resources management, and he is the winner of the Youth Innovators Challenge South Sudan chapter, and he will be representing us in the East African bit. Yine and Mayang, welcome to the Weekender today.
Thank you
so much.
I just want to ask you, I just mentioned that you're representing us in East Africa and you didn't even smile. I was looking for some excitement. You're so calm about it. I would be like, yay! Anyway, so I'm getting down into the discussion. You're very welcome, and thank you for making the time to come here to talk about this issue, which is very relevant, obviously, in our context. Mm-hmm. First of all, the question I'd ask both of you, and I'll ask Mayang to first answer, is what is your understanding of innovation?
Well, first of all, I would really have to thank you for organizing this time. It's good having us here. According to my own understanding, innovations come in when there is a problem that need to be solved, then you look for a way of how you can solve it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we look at innovation.
Okay.
And that's how I actually look at innovation.
So for you, innovation is where there's a problem, you look for a solution.
You look for a solution.
That's innovation, yes, for you. What about you, Ine?
I think I concur with him too. Innovation is about problem solving. Find a problem, find a solution.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, you all agree on that.
Absolutely.
No problem. Okay, let's continue. Now, since you're speaking, Yine.
Yes.
You're part of the Go Girls initiative, and
yes,
you're one of the co-founders. What led you to take this path? I mean, for you, this is the only ICT all-girl group. And that's rare. I mean, there are countries out there who don't even have that. I know a place where they have like an all-female media, but hey, this is technology. It's a space where, you would think it's supposed to be male-led, given our background, context, and cultural beliefs. But what made you take up this path?
I think so many reasons. I hope we won't sleep here. But
you can summarize it in three minutes.
I can summarize it in seconds.
Okay.
That it's still problems.
Okay.
I realized then when I was at the university that there was a challenge that we had only one girl doing computer science, one girl doing ICT. I mean, one girl doing IT.
Mm-hmm.
So to me and to my colleague, we saw that as a huge problem, because I myself, even when I came from the university, I realized we had so many guys and were still very few ladies. And out of the very few ladies, it's like 10 or 20 could perform.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I already knew there was a problem, but when I also came as an instructor, someone whom students look unto, I also realized there was a huge gap.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and the need and the desire was the driving force that no, this can't continue. I must step up. Or okay. we must step up, yes.
Wow. Why all girls?
Because of the percentages.
Have you started involving boys yet? Or you're staying all girls? Okay. I get the message.
No. Let me first clear my throat.
Uh-huh.
So the morning we talk about go girls, even to say, oh, why girls? Why this? Why that? Yes, our focus is girls, but we have mentors who are male. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. And at some point we even had mentees, so students who are also male, but we pick out those who are really most vulnerable, because to us at the end we want this student to feel that there's someone who cares for them.
Okay.
So when we allies with the schools, they know who really needs this help, who could speak up, who could improve, who could learn. Perhaps this could be their path. So yes.
Okay, so mm-hmm. before I come to you, Mayang, mm-hmm. I should have asked you this first, though.
Yes.
Just briefly, in those seconds, tell me about Go Girls. What exactly do you do?
Oh, we do mentorship in STEAM and research.
What is STEAM?
Oh, yeah. Science, technology, engineering, maths, but with an integration of arts to make science fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do a lot of research in open science, open resources. So looking at communities and building direct solutions from the communities.
So you saw a need? And you had to create this platform.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Coming to you, Mayang, you are the CEO, or rather the brain behind Nile Border. Briefly tell us about Nile Border.
Well, thanks. Nile Border is a transportation company that is basically dealing with the movements of the people around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of Nile Border came into existence in 2018 when I first came here. I tried a lot getting into a job system, but it never worked out for me.
Okay.
So
as a human resource person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the idea of Nile Border came into existence. I look at what I can do, because if I can get a job, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
So I started as an instructor. I teach in some schools, and I look at what health is missing out right now,
mm-hmm.
that we can work on. It was very challenging by that time because resources was not available. I've just graduated and I don't really know what to do with my life by then.
Right?
Yes. So that's where the idea of Nile Border came into existence. Nile Border is already an existing business that mm-hmm. is already in the market right now. The main reason we started Nile Border is that in the country right now, there's a lot of things that are missing out concerning the transportation industry.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is that if you look at the accidents that are happening in the country, there are a lot. And why all of these things are happening is because there's no proper policy, or maybe someone who is running the border industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like currently right now in Nile Border, we have an Nile Border Academy.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have an Nile Border Academy for only the trainings, whereby mm-hmm. you need to be trained before we
So what do you train at the academy?
We train you on the road safety, on the traffic rule, on the use of the helmets and the jacket and all of this thing.
And where is this academy?
The academy is in Gudela.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's different from the Nile Border office.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. With experience that I have myself, I started Nile Border as a border rider myself.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Many would look at Boda Boda. I mean, you would graduate. Why would you be riding a Boda Boda around the city? So you started as a rider.
Yeah.
Okay. And uh-huh. yeah. Then what happened?
The reason why is that, first of all, I look at the border industry. The reason why I was doing it is because I find out it's my only breakthrough. Okay, if I don't have the experience of the border riders, it is really going to be very hard for me to start up everything. So I managed to meet one of my colleagues called Simon Chow,
mm-hmm.
That I knocked down accidentally with
the mic. Oh dear. Okay.
So he's one of
I
the Nile Border
co-founders. You didn't damage him in any way?
No.
Okay.
So I used to work in Sherkat.
Uh-huh.
Back in the days, because it's bad roads and there's a lot of people there in the evening. So one time I was taking one of my customer, And by the time I was coming back, I knocked him down accidentally. We almost quarreled a little bit.
Okay.
And then we look at the solution and how we can solve it until I tell him that I think we have to just take you to the hospital.
For your case, you caused the problem. Yes. And then looked for the solution.
Yes.
Okay, we'll come back to Nile Border. But yeah. Like, what aside from that incident, the back of your mind, why border? Was it a need? Was it something you had to do to survive and then it became your livelihood? What exactly charged you in this direction?
The reason why we pick so much interest in running Nile Border is that, first of all, it has impact in the community. We are looking at the impact.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at the resource part. Okay, because that's where the innovation comes from right now. There is a lot of young girls who happen to be victims,
mm-hmm.
of things to do with the raft, because there's no proper system that is really guiding them. Like, for example, right now, if you download the Nile Border app and you order a ride, the whole system is controlled. Okay, we really know whose ride is taking you. We monitor the locations and everything.
So if anything happens, you can actually investigate.
Yeah, when anything happens, we have helmet and the jacket that has numbered, and mm-hmm. each rider has the same number. I mean, has a different number from the helmet and the jacket. So in case of anything, you just report that number. With the system that we have, we can be able to track down who really did that and how did the whole things happen.
Okay.
So that's the reason why we look at making sure that the Nile Border is currently working.
So the way I see it, from your point of view, the major problem was safety. You talked about accidents and people not knowing what to do, mm-hmm. lack of policies. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to counter the safety issue by bringing in Nile Border, which is controlled and safe as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, as young innovators, to both of you, I'll start with you, Yine.
Mm.
What have you found most challenging in your journey?
Well, challenges. Challenges which have become opportunities.
Mm-hmm. But what was that most one? It probably put you down and then eventually you had to like come out and say, I have to do this.
I don't know if I get your question very well, but
yeah.
Something that really puts me down, I feel like I'm always a hard nut to crack.
Mm-hmm.
So however much something is hard, I'll always draw out a solution.
Okay.
So I think that's how I'm wired, or that's how I've trained myself.
Mm-hmm.
That even when there's a challenge, I should look out for a solution.
Okay.
Yes.
But now, as you work and as you try to achieve the goals that you have as Go Girls ITC, now you're on the board of NCA.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those challenges that you still manage to overcome? But what are they? If somebody wanted to be like you, what would they expect to face on this journey?
I don't want to call them as challenges,
mm-hmm.
but rather would want to tell them as persistence. There's a lot of hard work.
Okay.
Really a lot of hard work. So if you're someone who breaks down very easily, you may give up. So you really have to do that work yourself most times,
mm-hmm.
which is frustrating. And that's where perhaps it becomes sometimes a challenge.
Okay.
Because one thing that I've noticed as a startup for all these years is always limited resources. Even when funds come in, it's very little. So it means it pushes work back to you. So you're one, but you could be doing like a chunk of so many things.
Okay.
So it's like almost most of the time you have to budget your time. You have to forego many things. Even sleep. You sleep late.
Okay.
You sleep late.
Uh-huh.
And you have to tune your mind that you have to wake up early because there are a lot of things waiting for you.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work.
And at the very startup, were there any things that you faced that you can remember?
I think for us, the first beginning was, first of all, we never had resources, but me and my colleague, what we did was to get a small fraction, because we were working at the university, a small fraction of our salary,
mm-hmm.
to see what we could do, because that was the whole beginning. And it was something that we were like, this is something we can do, so let's just get our little resources and see how this one can work.
Okay.
Then when we began, I think one of the huge setbacks that we had as Go Girls was the parents who are pulling out their kids saying that they were dodging work at home and they just want to hang out.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I say challenges became an opportunity. And when we looked at that, we came up with another program which we integrated, which we called family visits. So it's like in all our programs, it's like parents are a priority. So in anything that we do, we make sure the parent must know first. Wow. And how it's going.
And they understand
completely,
how this benefits their
completely.
Children.
And that has led to our growth up to today.
So,
yes.
Wow, you took it from the school to the home. That's innovative. Let's come back to you, Mayang. What are some of the challenges you faced from point of, you know, starting Nile Border?
Well, we face a lot of challenges and we're still facing a lot of challenges. But at my own build, I don't look at the challenges as something that can set us back.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are just giving us a strength to move on forward, because the industry we are in right now is too big and it needs you to go through a lot of challenges to overcome the few things that are following up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. One of the biggest challenges that we face is that we tried a lot making sure that a lot of youth are being helped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a victim of unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we do it? Currently right now in Nile Border, we have three departments that are very crucial. First of all is asset financing. I don't know if you ever heard of asset financing.
Please explain.
Yes, a lot of youth right now want to be the owner of their own bikes,
mm-hmm.
but they cannot afford to buy their own bikes. As you can see, 70% of the bikes that are on the street right now have different owners.
Mm-hmm.
You just buy your bike, give it to your cousin or your brother, ride it, and then the person will be paying you daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of young youth are coming to Nile Border looking for bike because we have asset financing department that
mm-hmm.
we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It became very hard for us to mobilize the resources because we don't have any foreign investor.
Mm-hmm.
Or how, like, is everything that we are getting from the business is what being reinvested back. Okay. Like currently right now we happen to have a close to 500 bikes, but getting all these 500 bikes to be leased out to youth was very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So our resources at the time was very limited. And then the biggest problem that we're also facing is that, you know, the country is also using imported internet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the reason why all our ICT sector are a little bit down, because we don't have our own.
You don't have good internet.
Yeah, we don't have good internet because we are importing the internet outside.
Okay.
So those are the biggest problems.
Wow.
And then looking at the policies right now, this is the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against anything.
Yes,
but
please go ahead.
The policies right now that are being put in the place doesn't favor the youth. We are people who qualified to get millions of dollars from the country right now. Let me say banks, a thing to do with big institution of the government, because
mm-hmm.
we are really helping them solve the unemployment that we are in. Like, for example, right now, I mean, right now we have close to 7,000 applications.
Mm-hmm.
7,000 youth who are looking for bikes from us, and we cannot afford to give them all the bikes at
oh,
the
wow.
time. Okay. The bank doesn't favor anything. The bank doesn't favor South Sudanese.
So they look at a youth and they don't see potential.
They look
you
at
ever
the
paying
youth,
back that
yeah,
loan.
Yeah, even though you qualify to have anything, to get the loans or what or anything, it's very hard. And it's very easy right now for a foreigner to get a loan that can be close to maybe $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So all those policies are not put into place. And I think this is what our government need to work through.
To really work
all right?
through.
Because if the youth are there to solve their own problem, they really need to be given a hand. First of all, the policies, thing to do with tax payments,
mm-hmm.
thing to do with how we are protected. I've been in Ethiopia a lot, and I really understand how they are treating the foreigners and how they are treating the country's citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An investor can come from outside right now and will want to invest in what we are doing differently, but we cannot compete with him because they have already organized themselves.
Yes.
So the policy, I think, that can really guide us
is to support
yes.
the countrymen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So those are the big problem that we are in,
okay.
that we are facing, but we always look at the solutions. Another big problem.
Okay, another big problem. We'll come to the solutions a bit later. Yes. Yeah.
Another big problem is that currently right now the country is also facing a lot of theft in bikes.
Okay.
All right, in borders. As you can see, every week right now, there can be close to 40 bikes that can be taken from the hand of the owner. And there is no way there's nothing that the government can do to get all of this thing back until maybe they track you down or maybe when they sell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all of these things are the challenges.
Wow.
As you can see right now, there's a lot of riders that can get, you can get shot anytime at night, they snipe your bike, all of this problem.
So first of all, the challenges that affect you directly now, like the thefts and the fact that you have all these applications and you can't meet all those needs. How are you managing that?
We look at, first of all, for the application, we are working on that. As you can see right now, a lot of youth picks interest in riding their own bike because when it comes to asset financing, we give you the motorcycle according to our own rules, and then you sign a contract, you work for 1 year and a half, or maybe if you choose 2 years, you worked, you keep paying every week until you own the bikes.
Okay.
Until you finish the installment.
Okay.
So what we are doing right now is that we have a partnership with TBS.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we signed a partnership deal with TBS, the 5 years partnership.
Okay. So TBS, the manufacturing.
Yeah, the manufacturing factories.
Mm-hmm.
So we signed an agreement with them, and they will be able to be supplying us with all the type of the motorcycle that we need, as long as there are some few deposits that are made.
Okay.
We already have like close to 500 bikes right now in the country,
mm-hmm.
which are in our store in boxes. So our team are just working on the recruitment. In the next coming 3 months, at least, we'll be able to employ close to 500 youth that need to work with their own bikes.
Mm, I see you have a business mind. Very soon you'll be meeting all the 7,000 needs. And when it comes to the theft, how do you handle that? How do you plan to, if you've not already?
Yes, we have our own company that we started. It's called Tugree. Tugree is a GPS tracking company. It's basically dealing with the tracking every single thing.
You have like, another company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is under Nile Border. I don't know if I have the sample here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a GPS tracking system. There is a tracker that can be installed in a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, in case of anything, if the bike is being stolen or it being taken from the hand of the owner, we have a team in our control room that can be able to track down the bikes, get it back, and hand it over to the owner. That is the only thing that we did. But we never go public about it because we have some slight issues.
Well, now you've kind of gone public.
Yes. Yes. So we have some slight issues, but they're already fixed.
But it's being worked on.
Yeah, it's being worked on. We're
amazing.
Just planning to launch it right now.
Do you mind me asking you how old you are?
Currently, right, I've just turned 24.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What was I doing when I was 24?
I don't know. You should tell us.
Okay. You know what? If you have a question out there and you have a question for either Yine or Mayang, please call, don't call in right now, but send a text message on 0912-177-141. Start sending your messages right now so that I'll be able to look at them early enough to ask them. And then I'll be opening my line soon to take a maximum of at least 4 callers. But just looking at the environment, I mean, Mayang, you just came around 2018. You know, when we were here, you studied here at your university. You worked at University of Juba.
Yes.
When was that?
I studied November 2014.
2014.
When I was 24.
So at 24 you were working.
Yeah, but I had my first innovation was at the age of 22.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the university.
Mm-hmm.
So we like a group of students, we came up with this company and we're hustlers.
Uh-huh.
We moved on the streets looking for people to buy our product. We designed a bulk messaging app then.
Wow.
At campus. We were getting the money, but I think because we were so young, we didn't know how to handle resources.
How to go about it.
Yeah, so it crashed.
Well, at 24, I did think about starting something, and the thought has been there since. Okay, so looking at your experience from 2014 2018 here in South Sudan, you've observed the environment.
Yeah.
Would you say that young people are proactive in being innovative, or what has your observation been, Yine?
They are very proactive, and from that time up to today, it's like youth have started believing in themselves. Mm-hmm. And most of them are coming up. That's what I'm seeing, because when I compare then and now, I've seen a huge growth.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, that's good. What about you, when you came, I mean, you got this whole idea to do this, but when you see your friends, people you're acquainted with, the young people applying, do you see an urge? Do you see potential?
Come again?
Do you see potential for innovators in South Sudan?
Yes, there is a lot of innovators here in the country, and the problem that they are facing right now is that they have nowhere to showcase all of these things from. Okay, especially if you have an idea how you can sell it out. I think it's a lack of communication, because there are millions of ideas right now in the country,
mm-hmm.
that qualified for big fundings, all right, from the outside world, and the only thing that they keep saying is that, I don't have this, I don't have this to start the whole things. There is a lot of them. I happen to see most of them myself,
mm-hmm.
because they usually come and ask, like, how do we do it? And they will want to also start their own things. I'm saying that there's a lot of innovators.
Okay, so there's a lot of people who want to do this. There's a lot of people who want to start up. They have ideas. What do you think is stopping them? Why aren't we having business, aside from what you said, the exposure, they don't know where to showcase, but you guys are here and you're in South Sudan and you are doing what you're doing, you're innovating each and every day, you see a problem, you get a solution. Why aren't the other percentage doing the same? Where do you think the problem is, Yine?
I think it's because people dream too much.
People dream too much. Okay,
yes.
Explain that to me.
So, dreaming, I don't know. Okay. I think this is something that my mother used to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an idea in your mind, just do it. Don't keep talking about it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. So you keep telling yourself, I am doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, but I am doing this. And because of that, I am doing this, it's like you end up believing in yourself that actually this is possible. So you start figuring out ways, how can I even start this, even when I have very limited resources? Whom can I work with? Who can support me? Because I told you, I thought of the idea of goggles, then I pitched it to my friend. I was like, I was thinking of this, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I'll help you put the proposals together. I was like, how about we work together, because you're capable? And I'm like, oh,
okay.
Yeah, actually, that's perfect.
So you were
perfect.
Not the proposal put together type of person. And you got someone who can
yes,
do that.
And she was like, yeah, we actually an amazing team.
Awesome.
And it worked.
And how were you able to trust her? Like, I mean, okay, I don't have specific examples, but I will not mention examples, but I've seen people who start up things together and then somehow along the way it crumbles down. How are you managing to keep it together as two people who co-founded the same thing?
We co-founded two, then a third person joined. I think it's personal will,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. And because me, I've been friends, and I'm very selective when it comes to friends. I don't become friends with you, sorry to say, I don't become friends with you if I don't see any benefit out of that friendship.
Are you?
I'm not friends with
okay.
benefits, but I'm looking at what value
what?
Can you add to my life,
mm-hmm.
and what value can I add to your life.
Okay.
So me, when I become your friend, that's the basis.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
I'm coming back to you. Let me first go to Mayang. What about you? What are you seeing the young people doing wrong? What are they not doing right, you know, so that they can become like you two?
All right. What I'm seeing is that most of young youth right now are, they're just looking for white collar jobs. All right. There's a lot of things a country citizen can do right now, but we're not taking those things. That's the reason why. Look at, those guys were selling out water tanks. I'm not against them, but this is something that we can do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine this is our Nile water selling us our Nile water is not really making a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. what I'm seeing also is that I think it's the right time for us right now to forget our differences and focus on what the country needs.
Okay.
If you see someone with these skills and it had value to what you are doing, I think that's the person that you can go with. Okay.
All right.
We have things that we don't pay it off right now because we have people with their skills that can be able to do that. Let me say, thing to do with business plans, thing to do with strategies, planning, thing to do with, let me say, something to do with technical work. We also have some developers within us.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we also need to do together. Okay. The biggest problem is that youths want a white-collar jobs.
They want white-collar jobs.
Yes.
They want to sit in an office.
Yes.
And then they go to the office, they find there's pretty much not much to do, and then they go under the tree. Uh-huh.
I was jobless for 8 good months.
Uh-huh.
And then when I find out that there's something that I can do, opportunities start coming. Mm-hmm. All right? Let me say, there's a guy who is going to remain nameless just because of my own safety.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of opportunities, like you can work with us, you can do this, you can do this. But when I find out that there's something that I need to do, I didn't take all of those things.
Okay.
All right. I think the biggest thing a man or maybe a woman can do is to find a reason of their living. All right. If I haven't find the reason why I'm leaving right
find
now,
find your purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then that is a long way to go.
Oh wow! Thank you for that. Coming back to you, Yine, you did mention trusting the people you talked to, and I'm also going to ask you the same thing.
Mm.
There's been a trend where I've heard people say, "I shared my idea with someone, and they decided to take it and put it in action." And, you know, like they stole my idea. What can you say about that? I mean, how are you able to identify that this person you're having a conversation with will actually remain faithful to, you know, whatever plans you have and stick with you, the initial person who had the idea?
So I think we all face that even when you are implementing projects, because sometimes people come to you and say, we want you to do this ABCD. When you pitch to them, they pick it up and they don't involve you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me and her, since we all did computer science, we came from the background and understanding that first of all, you prototype.
Yeah.
So if I prototype, I already own the idea.
Mm-hmm.
When you go and duplicate it, I can easily sue you. Even if I've not registered it, but I am the initial creator, it becomes very easy. And that's even something that along the way, that's something that we adopted as Goggles. We don't talk about it, we do it. When we are done doing it, then we talk about it.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Nice one there.
Yes.
What about you? How are you able to trust this guy you knocked down? And you just had a conversation with him and now you have a business.
I think what I also look at is that... you know, copying something is something very crucial. I don't keep ideas to myself. And the main reason why I don't really keep most of my idea to myself is that even though you want to do it, you will never do it the way I want to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
The original idea came from me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Even though you really want to run away with it, you don't really know the whole of it very well. And you don't. You really know very well that if you want to copy something, it sometime ends in a way whereby you don't expect it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very
so
true.
How you want to do your things is going to be very different from how I want to do it. Because
mm-hmm.
the whole idea came from me, and I did a lot of market research,
mm-hmm.
and I look at the design thinking, I look at what the market need,
mm-hmm.
I gather all the information that I needed, thing to do with the customer feedback, the prototypes, and all of these things. So even though you will start it yourself, it will never end well.
Yeah. You would have already covered a big part of it.
Yeah. Until
and
you
you'll
come
be
back,
ahead.
Yes, until you come back and say, let's do it together.
Wow, amazing.
The most important thing is that I'm working with honest people.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at the vision that we need to achieve. And us working together.
And you're all focused.
Us working together is the only way forward.
All right. Let me look at the questions now. This is Gadluak Makwe. He is texting in from Akobo.
Mm.
And he's saying, what have you guys innovated so far? What are the challenges you guys are... Gadluak, why are you listening from the beginning? Kede, let me leave this for conclusion. The next question is, how do you make how do you make innovation work? How do you make innovation work? So I think I would understand it in two ways. One is, how do you put your ideas into, you know, on paper and eventually make it something tangible? Yeah, you know?
So making it tangible, I think I go back to what I said, that we prototype. We first come up with the idea, which is the concept. We brainstorm, then we try to we try to implement and see at a very small scale,
because so you test it.
Yes, we test. You don't want to waste resources, or perhaps the resources are not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through these several testing stages until you feel like this can actually work, because you now have concrete data, just like the way he said, market research.
Mm-hmm.
So research is a lot of things. It's just not you going to the mind and say this can work. No, you have to do. Then at the end, for example, if I walk to you as maybe an investor or someone who wants a proposal, I'm walking to you with something that is very complete and very concrete, that when I pitch it to you, you'll feel like I should give her, or I should give them the money.
Okay.
Yes.
If you can, if you want to call in right now and ask a question, lines are open, 0912-062950 or 0912-062079. You can also call on 0921-902950 or 0921-902079. Go ahead and ask your question. We have two innovators in here. Good morning. Yes, hello, good morning.
Yes, hello.
Hi, who am I speaking to?
Yeah, you're speaking to Tron Bor.
Tron from Bor.
Yeah, it's yes. Raining here.
Oh, yes, I can hear the rain in the background. Go ahead and ask your question.
I'm glad to be part of this, and I'm happy for my friends and brothers in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You sound amazing, and I'm tired, and I'm really honored to be part of this morning. You know, my question is like, you know, people are innovative, yes, they are cute, innovative, thinking of changing things, finding solutions to the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But you find that the youth, he is out there, he has the capability, but he usually thinks back on where he comes from, so the bad things happening to the community. It makes it hard for him to really put some other things to work, because whatever happens in the deep grassroots, he depends a lot. For example, me myself, I can say yes, I find solutions to other things in the modern area. But
Throne, what is your question? What is your question?
My question is, what can we do in order to make sure those ones in the grassroots change the mentality of giving us the best image of our nation? Thank you.
Could you just repeat that? Those who are in the grassroots?
What can we do to change the mentality of those ones who give us our identity in the grassroots, to make us happy, who want to innovate, to change, and to give solutions to our problems? For example, up and down, and there's really something bad when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than make you happy, be proud of who you are and what you're doing. Because what they do in the grassroots
is different. Okay, thank you Throne. There's a bit of interference. It's raining in Bora, and as Throne was speaking, but what I picked from his question is that he first, well, put a baseline. Youth have capability, but those in the grassroots, there's a lot that goes on in the community. So what can be done to, you know, encourage them to come out of that, what's holding them down in the grassroots level? He says we can't compare the grassroots and the urban side. So how can those people be brought up? Do you want to try it, Mayan?
Yeah, I think it's also very good for us to educate our people. All right, most of the youth right now have the capability of doing whatever they want, but the problem is that they lack trainings. Okay, they lack training. They also lacked on how they can also pitch the idea, on how they can get the insight of whatever they want to do. I think education comes first. We have to really make sure that we educate them through maybe trainings.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say entrepreneur trainings, and like all of these things are the things that can really chips.
So I think this is something you can do as the people who have managed to get out of your comfort zones, but now what can those in that context do to get out, you know?
I'm just thinking of the word grassroots, whether it's being used in the right way or not, because
for me, when I hear grassroots, I hear village down there, there's probably no electricity.
We also work with grassroots, like really grassroots.
Go ahead.
The parents are deep, the students are deep, but we still reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone talks of grassroots, sometimes it leaves me hanging. But just like my colleague said, what I would add is, if an opportunity prevails, always take it up. One huge obstacle that I've seen, which is sometimes absurd, is, for example, an opportunity presents itself and there's no one who picks up. Then when almost the deadline is done or it has closed, everyone comes up and says, oh, I wanted to be part of that. And you're like, it was very open.
Clear. Yes, for everyone.
But it's like we also need to be proactive. When the opportunities prevail,
jump at it immediately.
Yes, because entrepreneurship in itself and innovation is a very risky business. I call it a risk. You can succeed, you can fail, but at the end of the day, don't give up.
You have to try.
An opportunity prevails, pick it up.
Okay.
Yes.
Young people in the grassroots, please be proactive. Get opportunities to educate yourself, get trained, and then start. Put your idea on paper. Let's have another caller. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, how are you? Who am I speaking to?
Fine, thank you. This is Bol Gabriel from Akobo.
Bol Gabriel from Akobo. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah. Okay, my question will go direct to Hene.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, she's a good example, because she have said before that she has been working in Juba University.
Yes.
You know, and you know that in Juba University, you know, there is a lot of things that are happening. There is, of course, there is a lot of things happening, and new thing and old thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this innovation something, it is... Yeah, innovation, it is solving problem, as you said before, okay? So, exactly, in case there's something happening, like during strike from the student, what can you do really that to make people to come together? Do you have an office in Juba University, or you just go to them when they did something, or when they are striking?
So,
just Ball, go to them on
Ball,
the, yeah.
Ball, how is this related to innovation?
Come again?
How is this related to innovation, a strike and innovation? Where are you coming from?
Because are you asking how does this
we're talking about innovation, so you're asking about strikes, so bring the relation.
Because they said before, innovation, it is solving a problem.
Looking for
solution for something that have happened.
So you want to solve the problem of strikes happening?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Looks like we're going to have a brief brainstorming session. But before we go there, let's pick another caller. Good morning. This is Lucy Kiden. How are you?
Lucy
Kiden. Who am I speaking to?
Lucy Kiden.
Okay, that is so terrible. I'll definitely try to explain in Arabic. So we're talking about innovation, yani tijar, how you can start a new business and stuff like that. But just let's take one more caller before we close. Good morning. Yes, what's your name?
Kidan, this is Galwa Makwe from Makobo.
Yes, Galwa, what's your question?
So basically, I would like to repeat what I have asked before, but you didn't answer me.
Okay, Gatwak, we'll do that in the conclusions. Just stay tuned, okay? Thank you.
Same question. Thank you.
All right. We are actually concluding now. We should conclude in the next 2 minutes. And so as we do that, just kindly, briefly, could you answer Bol Gabriel's question? For example, solving the problem of strikes, what would you think of? How would you, just in a few seconds? You're innovators, so let's do this.
Should I go first?
Yes, please go.
So for me, who was at the university, I completely understand when it comes to strikes. But one thing that we used to do a lot was we used to have, almost every college, we used to have our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all our, we put the pressure on the leader because you're there to represent us. So it was the leader who would push.
Okay.
Yes.
So you use the leadership system, go to the leader.
Yes.
And find a way to dissolve
push,
the strike.
Because we know from the college levels or from the college and schools at the universities, we always have the guild.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever decision the guild takes up there, we know after all we informed our what, our leader, so it will be the guild to pick it up from there.
Okay.
Yes.
Mayang?
Yes, I think she replied it well. Yeah,
so there's nothing innovate that we don't need to innovate away, it's already in place. And yeah, somebody innovated that back in the day and put a guild system in place so that you can be able to address strikes in universities. Now as you conclude, you could just once again touch a bit on how to manage the challenges that you face, and then give an encouragement to young innovators out there who would like, you know, to put their ideas into make them tangible, starting with you, Ine.
So challenges are part of us. They will never go away, but as innovators, continue innovating, continue trying, never stop, like never think of stopping. However hard, keep on pushing, it will definitely work out.
Okay, yeah. Mayan?
Yeah, I think challenges are also the thing that make us strong, or the thing that shapes us. Because if you are running something that doesn't have challenges, you still have a very long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
What I look through is that I think everyone has a right to do whatever they want.
Yes.
All they need to do is understanding it exactly what they need to do and how they can do it. Okay. I know a lot of South Sudanese young innovators,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that they need right now is the focus, is keep going, because there is nothing that you can do without challenges.
Okay.
Challenges are part of you. Expect them. When you are ready, I mean, when you are in fifth, I think you have to get ready for war. And when you are in war, you have to get ready for fifth. So
thank you. Thank you so much. That is Mayang Toot. He is the brain behind Nile Border, and he is representing South Sudan in the East Africa Digital Innovations Challenge. So all the best, Mayang.
Thank you so
Please
much.
Please bring this award home.
Yeah, we need it.
And Yine Yenki is the co-founder of Go Girls ICT. Keep doing what you do, and thank you guys so much for coming and having this conversation.
Us.
I'm definitely calling you back again. We did not exhaust this, but thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We've come to the end of the weekend, and right about now, this next song is going out to, I guess, all South Africans. Yeah, yesterday was South African Day. But otherwise, have a lovely longest weekend of this year. Bye-bye.
It's so easy.
The Weekender.
Redefining your weekend.